isn't it? I think we worry. Well, what do you all worry about as young people today in school? What do you worry? Michelle, what do you worry about? Huh? Results. Okay, grades. We worry about grades. Well, what do you worry about? Friends. Whether your friends like you or don't. Yeah, I mean, that's common. Like what Leanne was sharing about being FOMO. Okay, and that's very real. When I during my time when I was in RJ, did I feel FOMO? Never heard of the word. But I think I felt that, you know, fear of losing out or missing out on things. Okay, let's ask. Yes, what would you worry about? This week, you're going to worry about your competition, right? Whether you win anything. What are you going to go for? Gold? First, second, third, last? Bronze. Okay, at least go for a bronze. But can sleep or not at night? Can, huh? Okay, good. What do you all worry about? Chloe, what do you worry about? SYF. Okay, when's that?
Before Easter.
Before Easter. Okay, it's about a week's time. You're worried, right? See, we worry. We worry about a lot of things. Singing competition, dancing competition, right? Results, school, tests, friends, teachers. Audrey, what do you worry about? School. What about school? Whether you can get through the day. Whoa, okay. Oh, that's tough, man. Sure. Whether you can get through the day. Yeah, you know, when they're going, there's a lot of work. You know, in Greek, the word worry, it's very interesting. It's about a person, okay? And it's a lot of feedback. And he is drawn in many directions. Okay? And because he's drawn in so many directions, he ends up worrying. Okay, that's the definition of worry in Greek. In the New Testament. And that's something for us to think about. When we are focused on so many different things, we end up worrying. Tobias, what do you worry about? You don't worry about anything. You what? Grades. Okay, good. For you, you should worry about. Hey, Matthew, you're back. Good to see you. Do you worry about anything? Matthew?
A-levels.
A-levels. When's your A-levels?
5 weeks.
5 weeks? Wow. Okay, have you prepared for it?
Not yet.
Well, you better start preparing. It's been 5 weeks' time. Thank God you still have, what, another 6 months before your A-levels? Yeah, okay. And after that is NS. When are you going in NS?
I'm not sure yet.
Okay, sure. Glad to see you back here. Okay, one more person. Justin, do you worry about anything? What do you worry about? Grades also. Okay, I think that's something we all worry about. We worry about grades, we worry about life, we worry about friends. Okay, right? I mean, who here doesn't worry? Me. I'm raising my hand. Yeah. Do I worry? I used to worry a lot, but now much less. Okay? And today I want to talk to you about how we can deal with this issue called worrying. Okay? What do we worry about? What shall we eat? We worry about the future, our grades, acceptance among friends, and I think we worry about many different things. Okay, why do we worry? Now let's turn to Matthew chapter 6 and in verse 30. Okay, why do people worry? I think one of the things is that people worry because they have little faith. Okay, sometimes when we are faced with different obstacles, challenges ahead, and why people worry is because they have little faith. Oh, you of little faith. Now, the word little faith here means puny faith. Now, what is puny? Natalie, what is puny? Very small. And sometimes when we look at our faith, how do you know what kind of faith you have? How do you know that your faith is strong, whether it is puny? It's when it is tested. Okay, when you face challenges, when you face problems, see how you react. Okay, the person that knows you best is who? Who? Who sees your real reaction? Your closest friends, especially your parents, your family members, your brother, your sister, whether you pull your hair, whether you shout in your room, who sees you best? Well, those who are closest to you and how you react. And by the way you react tells you the kind of faith you have. And sometimes we worry a lot because we have little faith, small faith, puny faith. Okay, we have doubts. We can end up with very little faith. Another problem is when we treasure the things of the world more than God. Let's turn to 6 verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. For where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. And very often, why we worry is because our heart is tied into something on this earth. Right? We all tend to worry because we are laying treasures on this earth. Can you see? We are worried. We are worried about whether we have good grades so that we can move on to the next level, whether we will have a good job, whether we will make it in life, whether we will be successful. Isn't it? See, these are our concerns, right? We worried about, next time, will I get married? Will I have, we have children? Life is filled with worries, one after another. Okay? As long as our heart is in the wrong place, as long as our heart treasures the things of this earth, we will always worry, and worry can be counterproductive. Okay, worry can end up with despair. Worry can end up with depression. Worry can end up with discouragement. Worry can end up with many things that can be counterproductive. Okay, I see that happen very often. You know, it's very sad when you see a person worry and then moving on to discouragement and then to despair. Okay? So where does it start? It starts with worrying. Okay? And the challenge is not to worry. And how can we do that? Well, it's very natural for us to worry. Isn't it? Okay. So how? How do we resolve the issue of not worrying? It's hard, huh? Is it easy to not worry? Right? Someone was asking me last week, Pastor Mitch, how to be still? Right? How to be still? You cannot be still if you allow worry to plague you. Okay? You cannot find stillness, you cannot find peace of heart if you allow worrying, anxiety, anxiousness to take the better of you. Now, another big problem that can come up is people can end up with anxiety attacks. Okay? Well, what's anxiety attack? It's all of a sudden you just feel you panic. Sometimes people hyperventilate. You know it's hyperventilating? Okay, and I seen that happen right before my very eyes. This person just hyperventilates. Any of you hyperventilates? You know, there was once a person called me at 11:30 at night. That was in Bethany too. And I was in church, I was staying in church. And the person called church and said, "Pastor Mitch, can I talk to you?" The person was hyperventilating. "Pastor Mitch, I'm having a panic attack." "Hey, don't make me panic. Relax. So I told the person, "Relax." Okay? The person said that she has been taking pills and now she's trying to stay off those pills. And because she's staying off those pills, she's hyperventilating. She's having a panic attack. And I told her, "You know what? You don't need to panic. You can find stillness." Okay? So how can we stop worrying? I mean, practically, how can we stop worrying? How? How not to worry? You may ask me, "Pastor Mitch." Yeah, you can tell me all these things because you're not taking the A-levels. You're not taking the O-levels. That's what you always tell your parents, right? Yeah. Hey, you want to take my place? For 1 week? Write 2 articles a week? Prepare 3 messages? Translate from Greek to English? Answer emails, answer questions. Every week I got about 15 things to do. You try. Yeah, let's exchange. I don't mind. I think it's easier taking the A-levels. And don't worry at the same time. Huh? Can you stop worrying? What do you think? Is it possible to stop worrying? You don't know, Michelle. Can we stop worrying? Loisius, what do you think? You think we can? Are you a Christian? Do you come from another church? Which church do you come from? New Creation. Do you think we can stop worrying? Yes. Della, what do you think? Can you stop? I mean, can we really stop worrying? No. Why? Why can't we stop worrying? You see, we all have come to a stage where worrying is so much a part of us. It's a norm. It has become so much a part of us, we cannot spend a day without worrying. Agree? And it has come to become so much a part of us that we don't know how to live without it. Isn't it? What do you think? Can we stop, Beth? Yes, no. I mean, I sense the doubt in what you are. Right, Laura, how? You worry or not? I think you worry quite a bit, right? Huh? Yes, you worry. I mean, let's admit, I used to worry a lot. Okay, do I still worry? Much less, I must say. But I used to worry a lot. I used to worry a lot. And because I worry, I feel very stressed. And because I feel very stressed, I feel very down. Because I feel down, I'm in the dumps. And it goes down, deep down, and you know, it keeps going lower and lower and lower. Right? It's hard. Sarah, what do you think? Cannot. Can we stop worrying? Yes. Audrey, yes or no? Huh? It's not impossible, but it's not easy. Okay, Audrey? It's hard. It's very hard. Lorraine, yes. She always tells me about worries, so. Yes, Lorraine, how? Yeah. Sure. Yeah, it's not. Nicholas, how? Can we stop worrying? Yao means what? Can. Yeah, and I think that's the first thing you all need to deal with. The first thing that you all need to deal with is to believe that you actually can stop worrying. That you don't need to worry. And I'll tell you why. Why is it that it's important for us not to worry? Because if you keep worrying, it shows that God doesn't play a part in your life. You understand? If you keep worrying about things and you are upset, you keep wanting. You see, the problem is we all control freaks, you see. We all want to control things. Forgive the expression, control freaks. Right? It's an expression. We all like to control things. I like to control my life. I want to control my grades. I want to control my future. I want to control the friends I'm with. I want to control how many babies I have in time to come. I want to control, you know, the child that I have. They must be super smart. And right? We all want to have control. The truth of the matter is we don't have control. And the challenge for us is, can we include so much more God in the equation of our life? You know, I think we should include God even more in the equation of our life, the way we live, the way we seek to do things. You know, God can play so much more in our life. And I think that we are shortchanging ourselves. We are shortchanging ourselves when God is not there in our life, when we don't include Him as we should. Why? Because God cares. God cares for you far more than you realize. Okay? And that's something that's very real. Yeah, you know, we sing songs about that God cares. Theoretically, we understand that God cares. We know that our parents tell us that God cares. We all know these things. But in reality, does God really care for you in your life? My answer is yes. Does God care for you? Well, he cares for the birds. He cares for how His creation will come out, the lily in the field, the rose, the hibiscus. You see, how come a flower is so beautiful? Have you ever understood why? How come the flower is so beautiful? Right, how many of you ladies, you all like flowers? You girls don't like flowers? Wow, good man. Hey, guys, this group of ladies, they all don't like flowers. They have to waste money. Right. Why is the flower so beautiful? Why? Laura, why? Why? Why did God make the flowers so beautiful, Natalie? You like flowers? You don't mind them? No, I wasn't asking you. I was asking Natalie. You don't mind them? Oh, okay. Huh? Oh, sorry. Okay, never mind. Matt. Yes. Nat sounds like Matt. Yeah. Okay, by the way, Matthew. Yes. You like flowers. Great. I like flowers too. It's okay, bro. Yeah, but you know what? Why does God create flowers in such a beautiful way? The word is majesty. That God's majesty is seen in every flower, in every lily. And you know what? If God can clothe flowers with majesty, are we not far more worth than flowers or the birds of the air? You see, you got to see value. Sometimes we all don't know how to see value. Can you see value? How to see something that's value? Right? What's value? Okay, if let's ask the ladies. Suen, if Samuel buy you a bunch of flowers, what does that mean? He values you. Okay. Yeah. So there's value to it, isn't it? Right? He puts value into it. Right? For every flower that God creates, there's value in it. Do you think that God values you less because He's involved in the creation process of a flower or feeding the birds of the air? Can you see value? Can you see value in life? Can you see value in all these things? Can you see God's valuing something or caring for something? Can you see God caring for you? See, sometimes we worry is because we don't think that God cares as much as we think He does. You understand what I'm trying to say? If God cares for you, what do you think God would do? Amanda. If God really cares for you, what do you think He would do? Does your parents care for you? What do they do for you? They buy stuff. They provide. They give you a room. You have your room of your own? Yes, you have your room of your own. You know how long I have to stay with Pastor Mark and my eldest brother until I have my own room? You know how long or not? I tell you. I had to stay with three of us in one room. Small room. From here until here, about here, about there. Three of us in one room like that. Until my brother moved out. No, until my grandparents passed away. Then he moved out. So I only had my own room when I was in National Service. 19 years old. Wow. See, you have your own room. Wonderful. Thank God. Do your parents care for you? What do they buy for you? Everything, right? Is there a favorite food that they buy for you? Durian. Oh, you like durian? Wow. How many of you like durians? Okay, some of you don't like durian. Durian is the fruit that tempted Eve. It's not the apple. Do you know that? Okay, never mind. Okay. You know what? God cares for each one of us. He really cares. He cares about your SYF. He cares about your competitions. He cares about your results. He cares about what you go through. You know what? If a person cares, he will be there helping you, guiding you. Okay? So what should we do? Okay, so let me give you a few things to think about. Firstly, years ago there was a song that everybody liked. The song is entitled "Don't Worry." Okay? Don't worry, be happy. So the first thing you all must do is don't worry. Stop worrying. Cease from worrying. Is that possible? Yes. Because if you worry, does it help you or not? I mean, if you worry, does it help? Chloe, is this going to help with your singing when you worry? No, right? Is it going to help? No, it's not. It doesn't add anything, you know? Okay, let's go back to Matthew 6. It says here, "Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap or gather into the barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them." You know, God feeds them. God looks after them. "Are you not more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature?" Okay, who's the shortest person here? Who's the shortest? Anybody? Who's the shortest? Michelle, are you the shortest? Not you. Who's the shortest? Huh? Hua. Okay, it's between Alina and El. Let me ask you, okay, by worrying, and you all worry a lot also, right? I'm sure. Have you grown taller or not? No. Does it profit you in any way? Natalie, what's your height? 1.6. And you have grown to be such a height, is because you worry? No. Does it add to your height? No. Does it profit you in any way? No. Are you smarter because you worry? No. You grow stronger because you worry. Are you right? You swim faster because you worry. No. You can dance better because you worry. So why should we worry? Why should we worry? It doesn't add, it doesn't subtract, it doesn't do anything to you. So what's the point of worrying? You follow? 4 times the Lord Jesus, these are the words of the Lord Jesus, "Do not worry." And "do not worry" is what we call an imperative, it's a command from God. Verse 25, "Do not worry about your life." Okay, verse 22, "Why do you worry about clothing?" Why do you worry about what kind of clothes you wear? Right? Verse 21, "Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we eat?" You see, sometimes you talk about it. You know what? I worry about this. I worry about that. I worry. The more you talk, the worse it is. The more you complain about it, the worse it is. Right? "Do not worry," saying. And then finally in verse 34, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow." Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry. Okay, no point. There's no point worrying. Four times. The Lord Jesus, when He emphasized four times this phrase, do not worry, it's an imperative. In other words, it's a command. Don't worry. Am I worried about the future? I'm not. Am I worried about how things will be in the future? I'm not. I'm not worried because God is there. Okay? Don't worry. The first thing is, don't worry. Okay? Secondly, don't worry. God cares. God cares for us. And you know what? I don't need to worry. Because God cares for each one of us. If God cares for the birds of the air, if God cares about how a flower will turn out, why should we worry? Why should we worry if God is there to care for us? Wherever we go, whatever we do, whatever is our future, God cares, right? Number three, okay? Don't worry, have faith. Okay? Don't worry, have faith in God. Have faith in Him. Okay? Have faith that God will somehow provide, that He understands us. Do not worry. Verse 31. 31. Therefore, do not worry, saying what we shall eat. Okay? For all these things the Gentiles seek. You see, the word seek in Greek is to pursue, is to chase after. It is to put in lots of effort to gain these things in life. And that's what the world does. The world is chasing after, you know, the Singapore dream. They are chasing after all the, you know, the material things of life. Status. Today, do you all still chase after the five C's? No, huh? Nobody knows what are the five C's. Well, during my time, they were chasing after the five C's. And the five C's are condominium, car, credit card, cash, country club. Yeah. Okay, now today, nobody cares about these things. But still, you're chasing after things. Right? That's what the world is doing, is chasing after things. Okay? But I like what it says, for your Heavenly Father knows that you need of all these things. Okay? The Gentiles seek after these things. But God is more concerned about what we need. Okay? That's the difference. And in verse 33, it says, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Now, these are things for us to consider. What is the real answer to all these things? Okay? The real answer is, number one, put God first. Learn to put God first in your life. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Okay? The word seek is in the present tense. In other words, you don't just start seeking, you continue to seek. You continue to place Him first place in your life. Okay, the word first is the way you get the word proton. Proton means first place. Above all. put God first. Place Him first in your life. Place Him first in everything you do. Put God first. You put Him first. He will add to your life. Everything, all that you need. It says here, and all these things. All these things is not just a reference to clothing, to food, to drinking. It's much more than that. All these things is all the promises of the blessings of God. Right? You put Him first. All the blessings and the Beatitudes. All the blessings that we seek after. You know what? If we put God first, we seek to be righteous, He will add everything in our life. Okay? The word add, you notice earlier on, the word add is used in verse 27. Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? You see, you worry all you want, you get nothing. Okay? You can go and worry till the cow comes home. You can worry till you pull out all your hair. You can worry till your hair turns white. It adds nothing to you. But the moment you put God first, the moment you let Him be the first place in your life and you walk righteously, He adds straight away to your life. Can you see the difference? The contrast? He adds to you. It's not in vain. You can see the difference? The moment you put God first, He will add. It's effective. It's profitable. There will come the blessings of God. He will, all these things shall be added to you. Layer by layer by layer by layer. He will add to your life. So put God first. You know, I put God first in my life. And God has added in my life. One layer at a time. Understanding, wisdom, joy, hope, peace. Stillness, everything that I need in life, God has added bit by bit. And I'm a happy man. I really am. And I thank God for it. I thank God for the understanding, for the stillness that I have in my life. I don't have a worry. I don't worry about the future. I don't. I thank God for the peace that I have. I do not need to worry. Eric Liddell. Who is Eric Liddell? Years ago, there was a show called Chariots of Fire. And it featured a man by the name of Eric Liddell. And he was an, you know, Olympian. And he was a runner. And he was a 100 meters runner. Okay? And during the Olympics, as he was training, he is a Christian. And he found out that, you know, his race was going to be on a Sunday. Months ahead, he knew it. And he said, no, that's his pet event. That's the event he's been training for 4 years. But he decided, you know what? I'm not going to run on a Sunday. I'm going to put God first. Instead of running his pet event, he decided they was going to run the 200 meters. Okay, and that's not his pet event. He might even lose because there was an American man who was a favorite and he was going, they say that he will probably win 200 meters. And you know what he did? He decided, no, I will not run. He put God first. And during the Olympics, when he ran, so one person who was very inspired by him wrote him a note. He said, "You know, Eric, I'm very inspired by what you are doing. He who honors God, God will honor in return." Okay, where's that taken from? You know where's that taken from? You honor God first, God will honor you. Okay, let's turn to 1 Samuel. In 1 Samuel, chapter 2, and in verse 30. Okay, and this is what the man of God said to Eli. "Therefore, the Lord God of Israel says," verse 30, "I said indeed that your house and the house of your father would walk before me forever. But now the Lord says, far be it from me. For those who honor me, I will honor. And those who despise me, I will lightly esteem." Okay, that's where it's taken from. "For those who honor me, I will honor." And so Eric Liddell, he sought to honor God. He chose not to run the 100, which was his pet event. He chose to run the 200. And when he ran the 200, he ran the race of his life. Okay? When he was preparing for it, when he was qualifying for it, his timing was... Okay, wait, 49.6 seconds. Okay, pre-Olympics time, 49.6 seconds. Sorry, 400 meters, not 200, 400 meters. Okay, 49 seconds. Wow, that's quite fast. Super fast, in fact. 400 meters. Okay, when he ran the 400 meters, his timing was 47.6. And he won the goal. He beat the American. Wow. "Those who honor me, I will honor." He went on to become a missionary to China. And during the war, he was there, reaching out to the people, helping the people. And today, there is a monument that stands in China to remember him for how he sought to live for the Lord. Okay, "Those who honor me, I will honor." And I'm going to challenge you today. What's the answer to worrying? Put God first. Give Him first place in your life. Put Him first. You know, there's years ago, I watched another show, and in the show, they sang this song that really, really spoke to me. It says, you know, "Seek Him first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all good things will be added to you." And it was part of a show. Actually, I wanted to show you all today, but it's rather old. I don't know whether you can get the show. It's on the YouTube. It's called Crosby Show. "Seek Ye First." I don't know whether you can show it. But it's one of those, I was deeply challenged by it. Because it talks about putting the Lord first. Okay? Now, don't worry about that. If we can get it, if not. So that my challenge to all of you, put God first, right? Put Him first. You know, seek to let the Lord be the focus in your life. Seek Him first, put Him first, and you know what? The Lord will add to your life all that you need in life. Okay? Put Him first. Turn with me to Psalm 16. In Psalm 16, it says, verse 9, "I have set the Lord always before me, He is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. See, what does it mean to put God first? Set Him before you. Place Him first. Obey Him. Follow Him. Got it? Right? You know, put Him first. Set Him first. It's a college one, right? Do you all know? I shall not be moved. How do you find stillness? Put God first. Set Him first in your life. And you know what? God is going to be there to help you every step of the way. Okay? Another thing. It goes, okay, let's go back to Matthew. Matthew 6. And he says, do not worry about your life. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Okay, one, put God first. Two, live each day at a time with God. Okay? Live each day at a time with God. One day at a time. You want to get through the year, Audrey? Live one day at a time with God. Don't try to run ahead. Don't think too far ahead. Sure, you need a plan. You got to, you know, you got to come up with a study schedule. Sure. But don't live weeks ahead. Tomorrow. Don't focus on tomorrow. Live one day at a time. Get through each week one day at a time. That's how you get through the year. One day at a time. Finish what you need to do today. Do the work you need to do today. Then tomorrow, carry on. Live one day at a time. Don't worry. Don't worry about how things will be. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Sure, if you have a test, well, study today. But don't worry about tomorrow. Can you see? Is it possible? Yes. Is it possible to be worry-free? Yes. Put God first. If you put Him first, I can tell you, He will add to your life. Okay, you ain't worry, it doesn't add. Nothing's going to happen. Right? So why worry? I might as well put God first. Right? How do I put God first? Well, every day. I get up early in the morning. I take time to pray. I read His Word. I walk with Him. I set Him before me each day. Another verse. Let's turn to Isaiah this time. Isaiah 26. Okay. Verse 3. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord. For Yah, the Lord, is everlasting strength. The way of the just is upright, almost upright. You weigh the path of the just. We have waited for you. The desire of our soul is for your name. Verse 9, with my soul I've desired you in the night. Okay, how to put God first? Well, try tonight. Try reading His Word. Try ending the day with Him. Put Him first. Don't end the day with watching YouTube. Don't end the day, you know, with Instagram. Don't end the day, you know, looking at your phone. It doesn't add. It's not going to add anything. You put God first, you end the day with God, I guarantee you, you can sleep well tonight. And then you get up early in the morning, Before you come to church, put Him first. Start the day with Him. Read a passage. Memorize a verse. Pray to Him. My desire is for you in the night, and by my Spirit within me, I will seek you early. That's putting God first. I start the day with Him. I end the day with Him. Along the way, if I need to pray, I will pray. And then I put Him first. Okay, what should I do? Should I... here's a decision. You know what? I have to go and do this on Sunday. It's worship time. It's Sunday school time. What should I do? Well, I put God first. Years ago, when I was playing water polo, I had to make a decision. Because on Friday, on Saturday evenings, they would play games, playing water polo. I used to play water polo. And then the coach said, you know, Mitch, if you want to be in a team, you got to come on Saturdays. You got to play the games. But I say, I got YPG. They say, you don't come, that's your fault. So I had to make a decision. Should I carry on? Train with the national team? Wow, what a privilege. Train with the national team. Or come for YPG. I decided I would put God first. When I had the decision to make to be a fighter pilot or to be a helicopter pilot. All my life, I wanted to be a fighter pilot. But here's an opportunity for me to be a helicopter pilot. It means lesser pay. It means that it's not as prestigious. But it means more time to come to church. It means that I will have more time serving God. I put God first. Here's my life. I can carry on being a pilot. I can earn lots of money. I can be established. By 45, I can retire. Or I get a pay cut and be a student pastor. I put God first. This whole week, every day, I get up at 4:30. Every day. Why? Not that I'm asking you to do it, but that's my way of putting God first. And I benefited from it. Are you willing to put God first? If you want to resolve your worries, a lot of problems in your life, put God first. You put Him first, I guarantee you, you will find the grace, the strength, all that you need to study hard, to do well, and to succeed in life. I guarantee you, if you put Him first. Okay? You listen to the song, it's only 5 minutes. And I like this song. It's a very old video, okay? The choir is